And welcome to the Power Hour. I'm Mitch Pump, and welcome back to the Power Hour Studios, Mr. Dan Ford.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Unless we're worried about you last week, I think Les thought you were gone.
Yeah, I mean...
thought you were, you know, maybe arrested or dead.
Oh, that was true. Yeah. I was legally dead for like 20 minutes. It's fine. It's called vacation. Come on.
Yeah. There you go. It's a fun time, though. Me and Les, we didn't do a very good... we tried, you know. We kind of scrambled. But Dan, a lot of news kind of happened while you were gone.
Sure.
Last week. Let's start with the first big story, the NCAA basketball investigation, where we saw, what was it, where the FBI had a probe. We have people from Adidas getting arrested. We have assistant coaches getting arrested at major programs. We had Rick Pitino get fired today at Louisville.
Yeah.
Kind of tell us what's happening, though. I think you have a better grasp. Grasp on the stuff,
okay. I've got a grasp on this thing. It started off with like the FBI, investigating fraud and illegal wire transfers. And basically, the way this thing is working is that, the apparel companies have been bribing kids to go to colleges.
Didn't we know this?
I mean, I think deep down, everybody kind of knew it, but you've always got these people who, like, stick their head in the sand about anything involving college athletics and just pretend, no. But it's like, especially with college basketball, if you can land the next Michael Jordan or the next LeBron James as a shoe company.
Or Kevin Durant.
Or
think about it even now, the next Steph Curry.
Like, if you're able to land
how much money he's made from that.
It's a ton of money for it's a ton of money for your apparel company.
No, and we saw it at Auburn with Cam Newton and his dad. Let's be honest, you know. And if you're Auburn, that was worth every damn penny.
Oh yeah, and it's,
you know, they just didn't get caught, but you know, it's worth it to a program or whoever's involved. Because I mean, you look what happened. I mean, I'm on a different sport, but look at Auburn football. How much did you kind of shell out for Cam Newton? You know, it was about $200,000. You made millions off a championship. You can do the same if you're a major college basketball program, too. You know, if you're Louisville, or if you're especially like a UNC Duke, you can make – if you're a Washington, it can get you a lot of money really quick. Or even a Baylor. These aren't even schools that have gotten in trouble yet. So it's going to be wild. But who are some of the major schools involved
in
this? I mean, obviously the Auburn basketball team. You know Louisville.
Yeah, you got USC, you got Auburn, you got Oklahoma State. And there's one more who I'm forgetting.
Arizona.
Yeah,
right?
No, Arizona State is Arizona State.
Okay.
But the big one today was, you got other schools that are mentioned in the FBI's findings who were unnamed because their coaches weren't, they didn't have a coach indicted. You can read the FBI's thing and it's like you can easily figure out it's Louisville because it's like a public institution in the state of Kentucky with the exact same number of students as Louisville has, and it's like, oh, well, that's Louisville. They fired their athletic director and their head coach today, and the word out was that they wanted the athletic director to fire Rick Pitino on his way out. He refused, so they fired them both. We still aren't quite sure if Tom Jurek, the longtime Louisville athletic director, basically built that athletic department from scratch. Also, the guy who came up with selling alcohol at college athletic games. I mean, he's basically been the highest paid athletic director in the country. No athletic director had done more to build a program than he did at Louisville. So
no, and fairly, because I mean, Louisville, just a '90s kid. Yeah, it seems like Louisville popped up out of nowhere.
But I mean, before he
and
got
is now a, an institution. Well, it was an institution.
I mean, basically, if you think about it this way. Before he got to Louisville, they were basically, like Memphis as a program. You know, a history of decent basketball, one national championship in their history back in the 80s. But otherwise, it was like, yeah, they're an okay basketball team, no football, in a going nowhere conference. He led them to football success. He moved them into the Big East and then got them into the ACC. And, so they didn't fire him lightly. It's just this is how serious these issues with the FBI. I mean, the FBI is involved. Obviously, it's serious. This is not just
NCAA. This is an NCAA where you get a Because NCAA, what it is a slap on the wrist. You know, you're not going to have jail time. There are people going to jail. There'll be lives ruined. Not careers, lives. You know, like you might have your college career ruined, but you can always go back to business or something else and find a way to make money. These are this is the end of white collar careers for some of these guys.
And there was a big, one of the big damning things for Louisville was, the FBI had, a Louisville assistant and a representative of the team speaking with an apparel company, obviously probably Adidas, because Louisville's an Adidas program, talking about how they got to keep these bribes on the down low because they're on probation. so it's just, if there was a lot of controversy a few years ago, Louisville got caught up there. They've been on probation. They had to surrender a national championship because, they found out there was an assistant coach buying hookers for the players.
Okay, if they
had fired Rick Pitino then, I don't think they're here. So,
well, what's more embarrassing? If you're Rick Pitino, what's more embarrassing? This scandal, or everyone know that you kind of prematurely ejaculate? You're kind of a quick finisher. 15 seconds or less.
Look, I think that's still the worst.
Is that the worst? Because, I don't know if you saw, even Sean Salisbury was making cracks on Rick Pitino. Where's Sean Salisbury? He's in the gutter right now, making fun of Rick Pitino. That's how bad.
Yeah, if the ESPN dick pic guy is dunking on you, you're in trouble.
Yeah. And this probably ruins Rick Pitino's career. Oh, yeah. It's just funny. We saw him on game day a couple of weeks ago, happy as can be.
Yeah, wearing a jersey that was too tight.
And then, trying to look good. Then Clemson destroys Louisville. And then it was just kind of a downward turn for Rick Pitino after that. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, it's like this is what he kind of, he made his bed. There's no real way around it. All the guys who are going down, it's like, well, you're on tape admitting you know this is a crime. It's pretty hard to feel bad for you.
This isn't like an NCAA violation. This isn't buying a guy a Cadillac. Serious shit here.
You're committing wire fraud. This is not, people are going to get jail time.
Well, what's the line from Office Space? Yeah, this is federal pound you in the ass prison. So it ruins Rick Pitino's career. I don't know if you saw this, some rumblings on Twitter, some chatter was Rick Pitino has reached out to the NBA world to see if there's any interest. There's none. The game is past Rick Pitino by anyway, but this is
He wasn't a good NBA coach 20 years ago when he was younger.
Yeah. Larry Bird ain't walking through that door.
I can't imagine the idea that he'd be able to coach in the NBA today.
Yeah. So if you're Rick Pitino, where do you go? Is he going to be coaching at a D3 school?
In the short term, it's going to be lawsuits, because the thing that came out today is he had a $44 million buyout at Louisville. He's going to try to get that. I don't think he'll necessarily be successful because
if I had to put money on it, that'll be settled.
They'll settle it.
And he might get him.
But Louisville doesn't really have the money. But he probably won't even get half of that. Louisville right now is kind of cash strapped because they've spent a lot of money upgrading everything to get into so they could hop the realignment steps. And I don't right now they don't have the money to pay anything close to that. So they might end up having to fight him in court just based on we don't have a choice. We don't have the money to do that.
So if you're Louisville, are you saying the next Papa John ain't walking through that door?
Yeah, I don't know what Louisville does, because they've got to somehow replace the greatest athletic director in the history of their program. And Denny Crum was a pretty good basketball coach, but they've got to
But the best in recent era. I already saw today where top recruits are decommitting.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was to be expected. What else? Yeah.
But who's going to benefit here, I think, Dan, in terms of basketball? Assuming there's nothing on the Nike people.
The Nike people have already been subpoenaed today. Yeah.
Okay.
Nike,
I didn't hear anything from the.
All the shoe companies are going to have people going down.
Yeah, but I didn't hear anything necessarily involved with Kentucky. I think that's going to be kind of weird for some people that Kentucky might kind of come out of this clean, and they're going to benefit huge if Louisville takes a big hit. Obviously, big gain for them.
I'm still kind of flabbergasted by the whole thing that basically in the course of 48 hours. We found out about this thing, and now the, you know.
Petrino might be gone Petrino's, too, Dan.
But, I mean, football hasn't been affected by it. I mean, there's been no evidence that apparel companies were involved in, you know, getting football players on campuses.
And they probably wouldn't be because it's not as it's not the same big business.
Right, like, you don't make money selling shoes, you know.
No, like, Cam Newton cleats are kind of popular, but, you know.
Yeah, it's not. It's just not on the same level. But,
Because you can't wear cleats out. But, well, you can, but you look an idiot.
Yeah, you look like a grade A dumbass. But Bobby Petrino's buyout just got cut in half because part of his deal with Louisville was that as long as, you know, Tom Jurich was his athletic director, the buyout was going to be a certain number that's very, very high. But if that athletic director left, his buyout got cut in half. So all of a sudden now, if, you know, let's say you're an SEC school who has a terrible head coaching situation, which is basically half the SEC now, you know.
Well,
you know,
especially, so Dan, that leads me to my best question here.
Bobby Petrino's gettable.
Bobby Petrino, no, when he goes to Ole Miss, that'll be the end of Petrino, right? Because that's where he's going to go. Ole Miss is going to make the dumbest mistake ever.
He's got Texas A&M written all over him, baby.
Ooh. I don't know if that's good. We've talked about cheese in the past. You know, we talked with cheese on the SEC preview. It's a weird culture at A&M. I don't know if that's really going to work out for Petrino.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of a quirky guy. Like, that's the thing with Petrino at Louisville, Dan.
Do some Tinder dates with Joe Lanza. You know, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's... I don't think he'll be at Texas A&M. I would circle Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss.
No, he can do better.
Ole Miss
than
or Auburn.
Ole Miss is not a good
I
job.
I think Ole Miss or Auburn.
He'd be better off staying at Louisville than going to
Well,
Ole Miss.
Maybe not.
I mean, Ole Miss, they're in just as bad a shape as anybody is. You know,
I know,
Auburn,
but that just
Auburn's
seems like
gonna,
the classic.
Auburn's going to be firing their athletic director as well over this stuff because they're caught up in it. Texas A&M is the gig.
Really,
baby.
If you're Gus, well, to be fair with Auburn, I believe that that athletic director, I think, was the one who was on his way out to be president.
Which may not be happening.
If I remember correctly. No, it's probably over.
You know, Gus.
So that changes everything.
It's also going to be interesting to see, like, how this affects some football coaches who are kind of on the hot seat. Like, you know, Gus hasn't really been on the hot seat, but there's always, like, it's Auburn. Anything can happen. But with Jay Jacobs maybe getting canned over his involvement in this.
And plus the potential settlement, you know, from the controversy with the women's softball team.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be some money lost for the department.
I don't
buying
see,
out
I don't,
Malzahn's got a
I mean, if Jacobs,
big buyout
if Jacobs
for the
gets
school.
Fired, Gus isn't going anywhere because they're not going to be able to find another athletic director.
No, which
who can
but
you know who can
that's
make
the
a
weird thing,
like
Dan.
That.
That's probably what's best for Auburn long term to keep because Malzahn's done a pretty decent job, to be fair.
Todd Graham at Arizona State. Todd Graham in Arizona State might be safe as well because, like, he is definitely, you know, pretty close to the hot seat. But, you know, their athletic director, I mean, I don't think any of the athletic directors at these schools named in this FBI thing are going to survive. I think all of them end up getting fired. I think you're going to see.
No, because, I think you talk about the politics, too, with the athletic department versus academic. Academic holds most of the power at these schools, let's be honest. They don't.
You got
that.
FBI shit
most,
coming down on their university.
Like, yeah, most don't really like sports that much to begin. You know, I think they kind of tolerate it, but when the redheaded stepchild starts making some noise, you might be quicker to cut them out real quick. I think we're gonna see a dynamic shift in college sports. I think mostly in basketball, but we're gonna see things trickle down. I think. Dan, but I think we're going to see college basketball fundamentally changed, and it's probably for the best. It's probably one of those things we look back on and say, thank God this happened, you know?
I mean, there's nothing surprising about it. Anybody who's ever paid even like a little bit of attention to college basketball and college football knows this kind of thing was probably happening. But to have it out there in the open, it's very difficult for me to believe that this isn't going to lead to some very seismic changes in the way college athletics operate.
Now, I'm really interested to look at some of these changes, but Dan, there are other leagues going through changes. I want to look at one that's especially going through some changes here, the NBA. Big trade this week. Carmelo Anthony goes to the Thunder. Does this really change what you're thinking is going to happen in the West?
No.
As a kind of an outside NBA guy?
Not really. because I just don't think that team's going to work. I mean, I know everybody has always wanted to see, like, you know, Olympics Melo playing in the NBA. But I just don't – I mean, I've never seen any inclination that he thinks that's – I mean, he does that on all-star teams and he does that on the Dream Team. I don't see any evidence that he's going to play that way in the NBA. He is who he is. Like, I don't believe in the idea that somebody, like, turns 33 and then suddenly changes everything about the way they are.
No, maybe not. I'm interested to see what happens, though.
I mean, it's going to be fascinating.
That's the fun – yeah. Yeah, that's the fun thing with this year in the NBA. Like, we may know it's going to be Golden State at the end, but you know what? With the stuff, you know, I talked about with Wes last week with this weird mental issues, basically, with Kevin Durant, these mini meltdowns he's kind of had this summer. It could manifest itself on the court at some point, too. Because I think Kevin Durant's kind of a head case. I think that's kind of like the worst kept secret in the NBA is this guy's kind of crazy. This is a guy who tweeted out. This is the guy who tweeted at Scarlett Johansson and said he wanted to drink her bathwater.
Okay, that was, you know, weird. Like, there's, that was very, very weird.
That's weird. This is a guy who has fake accounts to defend himself from trolls.
He's a weird guy. He's probably like a WWE diva stan. He's probably one of those
probably
people.
Something weird. Probably like a, no, worse. He's probably like a Shimmer fan.
He's got like a...
He's like a big Joshy.
He definitely has a female wrestling stan account where he just like slay queens. Like some random blonde girl on Twitter.
It's at Rover, whatever he is now.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
What if Kevin Durant?
He's like refreshing Diva Dirt every day.
Casey Michael, he's that guy.
Yes.
That's what Kevin Durant is. Lots of crazy things could happen.
I'm gonna be fascinated to see the dynamics between Westbrook, Carmelo, and Paul George. Because Paul George is not a ball-dominant player. And I could see that working because he's more, like, he's willing to, like, play off-ball. Or I could see, like, him getting Kevin Love, where this awesome top-10 player...
No, I don't think he gets Kevin
Love. Never gets the ball
and
is furious.
No, that's the other storyline I'm really excited to watch this year. It's Kevin Love going to kind of step up and maybe not become the old Kevin Love. It's kind of too late for that. But can he step up and have a bigger role this year?
I mean, I don't think it's too late.
I
mean,
and I think he does. I think he does, though. Yeah. Yeah. And I think he will. I think we'll see kind of a Kevin Love resurgence in Cleveland. It's going to be a fun year. There's so many crazy stories.
You know me. Like, my dream, and I've got pages and pages of slash fic written about it, is for LeBron to one day discover that his true second banana, right-hand man all along was actually Kevin Love.
The man who should have been behind him on the banana boat was Kevin Love. But, and then you add, like, if we saw today, D-Wade gets added to the Cavs. That's another, you know, not going to really matter in the regular season, but D-Wade coming maybe off the bench in the playoffs, probably going to help the Cavs a little bit. It's just going to be a fun year. I'm super excited for basketball, Dan. I think the NBA just continues to get better.
The Cavs would be like the super team of all super teams if it was like 2009.
No, I mean, and you know what, Dan? We didn't talk about it. You got Chris Paul and James Harden playing in the same backcourt together in Houston.
Yeah, and how's that going to work?
With Mike D'Antoni coaching them.
Yeah, I'm fascinated as to how Chris Paul fits into a D'Antoni offense. I'm fascinated.
Denver is going to have the NBA bloggers' favorite team ever. You know, when you add Paul Millsap with the rest of those guys in Denver that, like, no casual fan knows about. That's going to be a fun team to watch. How's Utah going to respond to their boy leaving? You know, is Portland going to step back up? Minnesota, Dan, we have the best young post player in years on Minnesota. That's going to be fun to watch. It's just...
It's shaping up to be an
fantastic
amazing season. There's just no way.
Yeah. And on and off the court, you know, like even in with the Knicks, you know, you saw Kanter get traded. He's feuding right now with Edouan from Turkey. They have issues. They have beef. So you've got a guy in New York near the UN who's feuding with one of the worst, can we say, fascist leaders
he's
in all of
Europe
now? He's
pretty damn close. I mean, if he's not.
Yeah, and he is. I'm going to count him as European, though. A lot of people say Middle East.
I think the proper term is Eurasian.
Whatever you want to. I don't like slurs, Dan. I don't like.
Well, I mean, Turkey invented Eurasia. I still call Turkey Asia Minor because I'm all about 200 BC.
I still call it I still call it Persia because I don't understand history or geography, Dan.
That made me laugh a lot. I don't know if anybody else did.
But yeah, but you have even something weird like that going on. It's just such a, it's just fun. Like I was saying to Wes last week, the NBA is the hot new prestige drama on cable. You know, they're the show that everyone's watching on Netflix or HBO. That's what they are. The NFL, a little bit more Law and Order. You know, not as fun. Like even when they do protests now, it's all like, it's not fun. It's just like washed down and gentrified. It's just no fun in the NFL. Yeah. But I will say last week was actually a really fun week in the NFL, Dan. And you got a chance to watch a little bit of NFL action. So let's jump to that before we talk college.
Oh, man. I did watch a little bit of NFL. I mean, I had to sample Tony Romo, you know, to see what all the fuss is about.
Did you like Tony Romo?
I love him, but I can already see how it's not going to last. Like, because Jim Nance very clearly hates this.
Jim Nance doesn't like him. I think he's John Madden. He's going to have to find the guy he pairs with him. Maybe it's Tirico. Maybe him and Tirico are going to work well together because I think Romo's ultimate destination is Sunday Night Football.
Did you see where Musburger shit on him?
It doesn't like him. Yeah,
he's like, "You're talking too much. You're talking too much."
But you know what that tells me? You're doing your job right, Romo.
Well, the reality is
he's the best commentator I've seen in the NFL in years.
Like, the reality
is, if you could get him and Kevin Harlan together,
like play-by-play is an overrated, unnecessary thing. I have fucking eyes. I don't need you to tell me that they just got a first down. I fucking saw them get the first down with my eyeballs.
No, I want you to tell me, what's this quarterback thinking right now? Because you actually played football, you know, a couple of years ago.
Well,
as opposed to Phil
Sims,
who just like...
And you're not like a brain dead busy idiot like Phil Sims, who was a dumb quarterback when he played.
Or Chris Collinsworth, where you played wide receiver in the 80s and you just... Football might as well be a different sport.
That's not fair to Collinsworth. He dumbed down. Like
Collinsworth does a good job.
Collinsworth was a lot better when he started, and then they dumbed him down.
That's true. Yeah. And that'd be the fear with Rome. But I look at Tony Romo and I say that's the next John Madden. Because what he does is he explains the game in a way that your aunt, your grandma, you know, your guy who doesn't really watch a lot of football, and they're going to understand. They're going to learn more about the game.
He doesn't?
Tony Romo is the best. He's the best thing to happen to football in years in terms of television presentation.
And he doesn't throw a lot of jargon at you either. He's just explaining, this guy's going to be looking for this guy here because he's supposed to come open because of this.
No, and you can tell a guy like Musburger probably doesn't like him because Romo's really good and Musburger's jealous. That would be my
thing.
Romo's really good at what he does.
Musburger remembers when being the play-by-play guy was a really important job, and I think he just doesn't like the fact that it's changing. But
Musburger also misses that you can't get drunk and say the N-word.
Well, he's never used that kind
that's
of
what,
language.
That's what everyone used to do in the 70s and 80s, I think. Right?
Oh, I just forgot. Musburger was a super hardcore racist. I forgot that. Yeah, he was against...
There you go.
Yeah! He said all that crazy shit about the guys, the fist guys at the Olympics.
I remember the Joe Mixon thing, too. With he defended him and said it's time to forgive Joe Mixon.
Yeah. That's a Felix Biederman bit, where it's the Jared Fogle Defense Force and the Joe.
But
Mixon
it's just Musburger. Yeah. So you know, here's an early fuck you. Fuck you, Brent Musburger. Everyone likes you because you're some old drunk who throws in a gambling reference. But I know what you are. You're an old racist asshole. That's what you are at your heart, and you're okay with guys beating women. So
hey, sometimes a broad gets mouthy. Look.
But I'm sorry, you got a chance, though, to look at not your Carolina Panthers, but kind of your Carolina Panthers.
Well, I've adopted them this year because I was all in on Christian McCaffrey for fantasy football.
Yeah, weird that they had a skill player of a certain skin pigmentation.
Oh, you know, look, that is the North Carolina in me. I just love a white boy. I just love it. I don't know why it took me so long to get into the Panthers. They've got that dreamboat.
Did you like the way... Yeah. Do you like the way they're using Christian McCaffrey, though? Are you seeing, any kind of interesting innovation?
They are. They have become this, crazy screen-heavy team, where they just run, 20 slip screens a game, which is good in the sense that their line sucks, so it does slow down the pass rush a little bit. Cam Newton just seems like they've got him all screwed up, though. It's helping. I mean, honestly, I would still say you should, do whatever you can to get McCaffrey on your team. because, like, half of Cam Newton's throws now are check down. But he seems tentative to go down the field. He seems...
No.
He seems gun-shy.
I think some of that... I think some of that, too, is he doesn't have a guy he can trust. Yeah. Especially when you lose Greg Olsen. You even lose Ted Ginn Jr., who wasn't that good, but he's a guy that Newton wasn't pretty good to. And Newton's just banged up. That's a bad offensive line. This is a guy who gets hit a lot of plays. So how much of that, too, is just his body hurts when he throws far downfield? You know, that's part, you know, this isn't a video game. I think we forget that sometimes, that these are humans attempting to do incredible things. And sometimes your body just breaks down. You know, it's been, you know, Cam Newton's been playing at a high level for, what, closer to a decade now. You know?
Yeah. So there's definitely that. It just seems like.
And when you're that big, you just get hit more. Yeah. No, and they're missing they're just some of the worst drafting or free agent, whatever. How do you not get a weapon for Cam Newton? You get Greg Olsen.
Christian McCaffrey is the first honest to goodness weapon they've picked up in the draft in forever.
You get rid of Steve Smith.
Yeah.
As soon as you get Cam Newton, you know?
That'll always, because. I've never been a Panthers fan, but even I enjoyed watching Steve Smith. Like
I hated Steve Smith when he was a Panther. As soon as he became a Baltimore Raven, was one of my favorite non-Falcons.
Yeah.
He's a small, scrappy guy, and he's not afraid to, he's just a badass.
He's a badass. Like, I'll never forget him going, ice up, son. Like, just, ice up!
And another thing, he's been great.
The defensive backs and just beat their ass. It's like, all right.
And he's been a pretty good analyst so far on NFL Network, which is slowly becoming my home on Sunday game day now. Especially more for pregame, obviously, but like I really enjoy their pregame. I think to me, their analysts are so much better than what I'm getting on ESPN or anywhere else. Because when you get a Maurice Jones-Drew, you get Kurt Warner, Steve Smith explaining the game. These guys get it better than Tom Jackson and Mike Ditka just farting into the microphone.
Tom Jackson's been gone for like 3 years, brother.
Yeah, that's how long it's. Or you get Terry Bradshaw or what? I prefer
Terry
the NFL
Bradshaw
Network
and,
right
like,
now.
Howie Long, like a quarterback from the 70s when the teams had like 9 plays, and Howie Long who played defensive end. Like, what the fuck does he know about what he's even looking
at? You don't have Strahan on there, right? I don't even watch those pregame shows. And now it really has just been the NFL Network, and I'm really enjoying it. Because you know what? Another underrated guy, you know, we talk about Tony Romo. Kurt Warner, to me, is a really good little commentator there. I've heard him a little bit on Westwood One radio on the Monday night broadcast. Seen him on the NFL Network here and there. He's got a good voice. He's nice. He's kind of handsome, but not threatening. Like Kurt Warner. If you're going to buy stock in any football analyst right now, circle Kurt Warner. It's going up. Him and Matt Leinart. I don't know if we called him on Fox.
For college football, I know it's sacrilege to say you're not watching game day, but this show has made it clear. I've made it clear on the show. I ride or die with Rob Stone. So I do end up watching the Fox pregame stuff more than college game day just because of Rob Stone. No. And so I do hear a lot of Matt Leinart.
I traditionally try not to wake up in time to watch college game day. If I do, I'm bored the whole time. There's nothing I hate more than college game day. It's awful. Sorry.
Sacrilege. You just peed on a crucifix.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about college game day, who this week, I guess, figured no game mattered because they did it from New York or something. I didn't watch, obviously.
Why were they in Times Square?
Because I guess they hate going to Athens. I guess they didn't want to go to Athens, Nashville, or even Michigan or Purdue, or maybe, you know, go to a game for a D3 school or something. They didn't want to do anything fun. They just want to be elitist in New York, would be my guess.
Was Fordham playing or something?
No, they said, we don't have anywhere good to go. Which really upset my dad, who's a big Georgia fan. He's like, we don't want to fucking come to... He thinks that the game day crew must hate Athens for some reason. Because he's your classic Southerner who just has a big chip on his shoulder when it comes to sports.
Well, clearly somebody's got outstanding warrants. But Corso can't come back.
Corso's banned from the state. That could be the issue, too. Could be a house arrest issue in Corso. But let's talk about the games, Dan. The sweet, sweet games. Let's talk about, like, maybe the first half, the first slate of games. Anything that, like, really jumped out to you? I spent a lot of my time, Dan, watching the Armed Forces teams play on CBS Sports Network this week. They had all three. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like, my favorite game was Tulane Army. I watched that game.
Yeah.
I rewatched that game. I loved it so much. So much option.
It's a lot of fun.
Tulane runs a shotgun option offense, which, I mean, obviously that's the way to go. Screw your flex bone. Let's line up in the shotgun and do the same stuff. Tulane's going to be pretty good. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, if you're looking to, like, if you're looking to buy, hey, years ago I called San Diego State as the growth program. And look at who's the best team in the group of five this year, San Diego State, my growth program.
You know, I've noticed this too from my picks. Tulane has consistently been a good team for me in my picks. Been a big fan.
So I'm just telling you this right now, if they're able to keep Willie Fritz, you know something? That team's gonna be something.
Mm-hmm.
But
I want to talk about first the biggest letdown, Vanderbilt. Talk about laying an egg after hyping up the game so much. First series, you come out, you throw a pick. Game was over after that. I think I blinked it. It was 28-0.
Yeah.
That was and from a team that but you and me both, from what we saw, we thought that was a pretty decent defense and has been the past couple of years. Just shit the bat. To me, that wasn't really an example of why Vandy's D may not be good. It just shows why they're not elite. And Alabama is elite.
Vanderbilt can hang with anybody in the SEC East except maybe Georgia. They can't.
They probably could with Georgia because you got the freshman quarterback that maybe you compete.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, not with Bama. But no one can. Let's be honest, Dan. There's probably four teams in the nation that can hang with Bama. Because, I mean, they put the hammer on a healthy FSU team. You know, like maybe Clemson, Michigan, Washington, Oklahoma can maybe hang with
TCU. Don't forget TCU.
And let's see about TCU. I know they beat Oklahoma State. Let's jump to that one real quick, actually. TCU beats Oklahoma State, gives Oklahoma State their first loss. What did you think? Because I thought I had Oklahoma State as a potential playoff.
Yeah, I did too. TCU.
This was a huge win. TCU's just been
straight up
showing
better.
Up.
Like, there's just no way around it. Like, Oklahoma State, like, really never got. I mean, they scored some points late in that game to sort of make it look a little closer than it actually was. TCU just beat the piss out of them. Like, that was not a close game. TCU was just definitively better.
But think about who did have a close game this week, Dan. You know, as I look through some of the scores, Oklahoma barely beats Baylor by 8.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And this is not
Baylor,
the Baylor.
Yeah, Baylor was even able to get off the mat, which is a good sign for their program, to be honest with you.
Yeah, or was this trouble for Oklahoma, a team that I have in my top four right now? If you're Oklahoma, are you kind of looking over your shoulder now at TCU? Are you kind of sweating a little bit? Do you see that they went into Oklahoma State one?
I mean,
this wasn't a game at TCU.
They should definitely be afraid of TCU. Like, there's nowhere. Like, they should not be taking TCU lightly. TCU's definitely their best competition.
Another team that really surprised me this week, Dan, UGA. I thought Mississippi State was going to keep that game close, and it looks like UGA might have something there with Mr. Prom.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was very down on them going into the year, but a lot of the reason I was down on them was I think Eason stinks. And they have freed themselves from that particular situation just by luck, you know, of Eason getting hurt and then having to go to Fromm. And Fromm's just been better.
And, but to be fair with Georgia, that offensive line, it's almost night and day. I mean, this is a team that was getting pushed around by, you know, what was it, a D2 school last year? Or whatever we're supposed to, whatever the PC term is, minor league college programs. So to see them, you know, go and you know, I know it's Mississippi State, but it's still a D1 SEC program, and to dominate them on the line, really just whip their ass all night. A team that beat LSU, a team that you and me thought could win the SEC.
Yeah, I'm physically, like, Mississippi State proved the week before that they're physically a tough team. Because physically, man, like, just they beat up on LSU, and then they turn around the next week and get physically dominated by Georgia. So, I mean, obviously, it's not like a transitive or anything like that.
Yeah. But
they're
Dan,
clearly,
it's not
they're
anything.
Clearly, Mississippi State is clearly a physical team. They're not some, like, powder keg, you know, powder puff, you know, soft boy offense or soft boy team.
And Georgia still managed to do whatever the heck they wanted with him.
But this is what we've seen from Georgia in the past, and we've seen Georgia teams come out the gate high, you know. But then they would kind of trip up along the way. And that was always the big thing on Mark Richt was, yeah, he came out hot, but then he lost to Kentucky for some reason, or he lost to Missouri, or he blew it against Florida. So that's what I'm interested to see. That's why, like, we'll talk about it in our previews for next week. Very interested in this Tennessee game. That's going to be the first little test to me for Georgia this year. Is this the same program we've seen for the past 10 years? Or are Will Smart, through luck, do kind of tripping his way through, but will he kind of get over that hump for Georgia?
Well, there's also like that, what is it? The wolf from Pulp Fiction theory, like, hey, let's not go sucking our dicks just yet, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I think a little bit of that happened to Mississippi State, where they spent all week hearing everybody talk about how great they were, and then they just got punched in the mouth by Georgia. Georgia might have
no,
to
and you go to Athens.
To them, cause, yeah.
Yeah, it
they're
could
gonna,
happen, but
spend
you know,
all
if
week
Mississippi State, you go to.
They are.
Yeah, and Georgia, I believe that game's at Tennessee, correct? Similar to what happened to Mississippi State. Georgia, going to Athens, going to Knoxville, it's a hard place to go. That's over 100,000 people. Those are some of the bigger stadiums in the SEC, some of the louder ones. It's not an easy place to win.
Plus,
Georgia doesn't lose a ton of home games. They'll lose to Alabama and those teams, but they don't lose a lot.
The reality with Tennessee is as long as you're not Alabama, they can pretty much beat anybody. Like, they're obviously not at that Alabama level or anywhere close to it, but, like, they can play UMass close. They can play, they can play Florida close. Like, you're all just another game that Butch Jones will play really close with and maybe win, maybe won't.
But, Dan, I want to jump to a game near and dear to your heart. NC State goes into Tallahassee and beats FSU, ends FSU's year. Obviously, we saw some more injuries, I think, for FSU. But this is a team I had to play.
Yeah, I did too.
Early. It doesn't count because of injuries, so I don't count that. I have Clemson in now. NC State effectively once again is ruining FSU or a team in the ACC season.
How
does it feel?
This felt better than most NC, because like NC State is no stranger to upsetting teams. Like it's kind
but
of.
But usually it's on like a missed field goal or some last second safety bullshit
or, like
or
a
drop
quarterback
kick.
Plays like a tremendous game or whatever. This was not. Yeah. Oh man, NC State just played their best version of football and they were able to get it done and they dominated Florida State. Like that game could have been a bigger blowout than it was.
Well,
NC State had
there
some
were
struggles
some
in the
people
red zone. That kept this from being a bigger blowout. But, like, the defensive line, especially for NC State, completely dominated Florida State. Like, NC State's front four is almost as good as anybody you're going to find outside of the top five teams in the country. Like, their front four is disruptive, and they are nasty. And second best team in the ACC, it's either Virginia Tech or NC State, and I think it's probably NC State. They're not going to get a chance to play.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. Yeah,
for the championship game.
We'll find out this week with Clemson.
They're in the same division as Clemson. And they're obviously not as good as Clemson, but were in the
NC
Coastal,
State was a team that. Yeah, but they are a team that one analyst even had in the playoff. It was laughed at. We're not really laughing so much now.
Well, they did lose to South Carolina, so nothing we do can undo that. It can take that stain away.
Well, but you go out there, maybe you upset Clemson. Fuck it, you're NC State. You know, they'll never. Never turn your back on the Wolfpack, Dan.
I just want to get to 10 wins for once. Like, NC State has only ever done that once, and it was the Phillip Rivers season with T.A. McClellan.
If you're FSU, kind of hunker down, rebuild, reload, come back next year.
I hope that,
if I'm
hope
FSU.
That, like, you don't lose your head coach.
Yeah. I want to jump to one more game. Before we jump to kind of the heartbreakers that ended Saturday, I want to look at Michigan, Dan. Looks like Michigan's got their quarterback. They went to Purdue, a team that's been playing well. Maybe not the best team in the world. Struggled. They brought in the kid off the bench. Michigan wins the game. What is Michigan going to be? Is this the guy? Is this the guy that's going to take Jim Harbaugh to the playoffs?
I mean, he played like crap last year. He played like crap his second year at Houston before he transferred. But maybe. A year's worth of coaching under Jim Harbaugh, sprinkling that fairy dust on him. Maybe he's.
Well, we saw what he did for We saw it even for Colin Kaepernick, and then, oh, this guy can't coach quarterbacks.
We saw it with Kaepernick. We saw it with Alex Smith. We saw it with Jake Rudock his first year at Michigan. When, you know, he took Jake Rudock, who everybody had basically given up as a bust at Iowa. I mean, this is what Harbaugh does. And the thing,
he's a great quarterback. You know, he probably is the best developing quarterbacks.
Especially, like, a pro-style quarterback, you know.
Yeah, I would say Mark Richt's probably got a better college track record, but if you count what he did in the NFL, it's Harbaugh hands down.
And the thing about Harbaugh is that it's a low-key thing, and people don't talk about it that much, but his offense, he prefers to have – he doesn't necessarily have to have, like, a Colin Kaepernick level of mobility, but he prefers his quarterbacks to have some, you know, to have some mobility. Like, you know, his first big coaching job was quarterbacks coach for the Raiders with Rich Gannon back in the day. And Rich Gannon was a guy who was not like Michael Vick, but he could move. You know, he was good at
– He could move in the pocket. And he could scramble.
Like, you know, he could scramble and pick up a third down. You know, that's kind of what Harbaugh always wants, is the ability for his quarterback on, like, 3rd and 7 to, you know, rip one off.
See that they were in man and he sees his wide opening. I think I saw Stafford do it this week in the NFL, you know. You don't think of Stafford as a runner, but he is a guy who can do something like that. It's kind of what you want.
And, you know, Michigan has had a lot of struggles this year in the red zone. That's been their big bugaboo. They cannot do anything in the red zone. And a lot of it is that, you know, Jim Harbaugh, part of his red zone offense is, hey, let's use a little bit of a zone read, you know, let's get the quarterback involved in the run game to sort of punch the ball into the end zone. And, you know, we don't think about Andrew Luck as a mobile quarterback, but Andrew Luck was a tremendous athlete, and they used him as a runner in college. Every year he would get like 600-700 yards rushing.
Well, what was the thing about his 40 time? Was it like higher than Robert Griffin's or something dumb like that?
Yeah, he's a quick. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh's ideal quarterback is a guy with legs who he can turn into a pocket passer, who can you know, inside the red zone be a threat, or on third down and in the red zone can be a threat to carry the ball. And Wilton Spate is just not that guy. Wilton Spate is like 6'5" and 240. And has 2 left feet. I think that's part of why Michigan's, you know, red zone offense has kind of struggled. Is just that Wilton Spate's just not that kind of guy. Last year, they used Jabril Peppers a lot as a wildcat quarterback inside the red zone to sort of punch the ball in, you know, running the option with him. And John O'Korn is a guy with, you know, he's got mobility. John O'Korn's problem has always been throughout his career going back to Houston is he's a little bit of a wild colt. You know, he's a guy who's he's always been kind of difficult to corral and get him to play in a disciplined way. You know, he always kind of had that Madden disease where, like, you hike it and then you just drop straight back like 20 yards. You know, if you've ever seen a guy play Madden all wrong, you know, they appear to have fixed that. And if he can maintain that, if Michigan can have like a B+ out of the quarterback position, they can beat anybody. They could win the national championship. They have played like crap on offense each week of the season and still won every game by double digit. If they can, you know, if they can get like a B+ out of the quarterback position, this is suddenly a national championship contender.
Yeah. I want to jump now to the heartbreakers that kind of capped off the evening. You had Penn State with the last minute kind of comeback win against Iowa, where I think they threw the touchdown with no time left on the clock, Dan.
Yeah, it was the last play of the game, walk-off touchdown pass.
Yeah. So it keeps Penn State going. I don't love this Penn State team, but Iowa's always a tough place to go and play, especially if we hear about what was it, locker room conditions. Or is that in Purdue?
That's Purdue. Purdue has had the worst. The deal with Purdue is that their athletic director, who I think just stepped down and got, you know, I think he retired. Purdue was basically taking those big Big Ten checks, like the Big Ten Network checks, and spending them on their stupid school. What a bunch of idiots, right?
They had like engineering. Or something.
They had the worst athletic department facilities in the entire Power Five, not just the Big Ten. They were kind of the poster child for a school that's in a big conference just because they made a good decision like 130 years ago, who really like has no reason to be in a power conference and has all this money. And you look at it and you go, why do you have all this money and Boise State doesn't? But they recently started spending it. They've been doing athletic department upgrades. They built, you know, a lot of their athletic department is still under construction, But the one thing Purdue hasn't gotten to is the visitor locker room, which are like basically like 1930s. Like you walk in there and the like you hang your stuff on a nail that's twisted and sticking out the wall.
I mean, let's be honest, Dan. There are high school visitor locker rooms that are better.
Oh God.
Maybe even in the state of Indiana. Yeah,
I mean, especially if you go to Texas, like everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to Penn State, get the last minute win. Are we liking what we see with Penn State? I mean, it's a three-horse race now, especially in that division in the Big Ten.
I mean, obviously the wild card with Michigan is, you know, does John O'Korn change things for them? But if, you know, if you're asking
what happens when he plays against a team a little bit better than Purdue?
If you're asking me to put those teams in order, I would say it's Penn State, then Michigan, then Ohio State. I would put Ohio State third out of that bunch.
We saw what happened when Ohio State
like clear number one choice out of those.
No, and we saw what happened when Ohio State, you know, played another team, a potential playoff team. They got their ass kicked.
I still don't see any evidence that their passing offense is any good.
No, and we don't know if they've gone back to the drawing board. We don't know if they're not showing. We're going to learn more about Ohio State when they play Penn State in a few weeks. I want to go to the other heartbreaker, Kentucky.
Oh,
God, I wanted this one. But this was one of the – I think that game was blown three times by Kentucky.
I don't know. I mean, obviously the two big – I mean, Florida probably would have never scored any touchdowns if not for Kentucky going, let's put 10 men on the field. And they did it twice. They did it twice.
And that's all on the coaches. That's also on the players, but that's on the coaches.
And it's also on the refs, because both times they were trying to call timeout desperately, and the refs just like, nah.
Yeah. But this is how you lose to a team, Dan. I think in your lifetime, we've never lived to see Kentucky beat Florida in football.
It has never happened.
When was the last win? In 84?
I think it was 86.
86. So you have like something like that happen. But you're driving at the end, you need a field goal to win, you get in position, you have a decent run, hold brings you back, you kind of get some yards back on a really good quick pass. I mean, that was kind of an excellent little play there, but it was too long for the kicker, and we saw.
Yeah,
The
kick was on the line. It was just like, basically, if they hadn't had the holding penalty, he would have had it.
And I've never really heard the energy sucked out of a stadium the way it was in Kentucky. Kroger Field was like a morgue.
Like, basically, once Florida got that touchdown off of the, just nobody covering the wide receiver at the top of the field, like, the whole crowd just went silent. I mean, it was a morgue.
It was sad.
I mean, Kentucky's just a better football team than Florida, but I mean, Jim McElwain made that deal with the devil, you know, that he'll always luck into beating SEC East teams, but the other end of that deal is that he's always going to get his ass kicked by Alabama.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
And
it's worth
Kentucky was such. Yeah. But your season's not over if you're Kentucky, though, obviously. You can still win the East. You just can't need some help now.
Yeah. But that's the kind of loss that does tend to hang over a little bit.
Yeah, we'll look at that. I want to talk about one last loss. That was Oregon, a team that I kind of digging. Goes to Arizona State, loses. Maybe that saves Todd Graham's job, too.
Yeah, I still can't believe. I mean, Oregon, it was just one of those things where, like, Oregon was just playing like crap. But they did figure it out, like, by, like, 7 or 8 minutes left in the game, like, Oregon just started doing whatever they wanted to do. But it's just too late. They'd run out of time.
Wasn't that similar like that? Was it like an Oregon-TCU game 2 years ago that was kind of like that? I can't remember.
I mean, maybe.
It was Oregon State. It was like a bowl game, though. And it was like almost a crazy little comeback there. But, yeah, it shows that Oregon's not really ready to compete, I don't think, for the Pac-12 title. But that program, to me, Dan, it's on the uptick back.
Look,
maybe they're not ready yet, but in 2 years, if I'm Washington, I'm going to start sweating Oregon a little bit more. And we'll see what happens. I mean, they're obviously going to run into Washington State, some other teams later on.
Well, so, Willie Taggart.
We'll see if that loss kind of kills
Willie Taggart he's got a pattern. Year one, this year's Oregon team is already a much better year one team than USF or Western Kentucky were for him. But, you know, he usually, you know, his teams have a lot of hiccups when he first gets there as he implements what he wants to do. And then, you know, by year two or three, they're rolling. So, you know, anything Oregon gets in year one, especially given how bad they were last year, it's kind of gravy. Like, it's okay. You know, I don't think Oregon fans in particular, and I don't think they should, and I don't think they are too antsy about year one.
No, but I'd be really happy about the direction of my program. I'm an Oregon fan. So, you know what? This is way better than I expected. You know, because this is the team that I didn't even think might even make a decent bowl. This could be a decent bowl team now.
I mean,
they could be right there in the Idaho Bowl.
They're no Washington State, but they're pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, anything else from last week that jumped out, actually, besides the games we talked about? I mean, obviously, the LSU
close
one versus your boys in Syracuse. And Cal almost pulled a game that, you know, if you listen to last week with me and Wes, I kind of called that. I said, this USC team's going to play like that.
I'm just so...
You know, they're similar to Tennessee in that way.
I don't know who's coach of the year other than Justin Wilcox. Because he took over a Cal program that was just, like, the worst defense anybody had ever seen. And they, you know, I mean, they held USC to 35 points. I mean, I know that sounds like, oh, man, they scored 5 touchdowns. But last year, Cal was giving up, like, 5 touchdowns a quarter. Like, you know, they have just come so far with, like, and without any kind of, like, player upgrades. It's just coaching. I'm just a tremendous believer in what Wilcox is doing there. And then obviously my boys at Syracuse put the fear of God into LSU. I'm starting to get nervous about LSU. Ed Orgeron is going around to friendly reporters making excuses about, you know, the recruiting not being up to par, you know, in the last few years of Les Miles, which that's always a bad sign when you're crapping on the guy who came before you.
That's, especially when you're in a 5-star program like LSU, where it's not that hard to get recruits.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of the only school. Now, I know A&M's kind of messing with you there, but A&M's awful. You're the only school kind of in your little territory there.
I mean, and it's like...
really no excuse.
The idea that Les Miles was a bad recruiter down there. I mean, and you were the friggin' recruiting coordinate. Like, you were the lead recruiter on the staff.
You were on the staff. Yeah, like...
I'm losing faith in this whole Ed Orgeron experiment. But, you know, Syracuse, they're my boys.
We'll see.
I told you they could play. You didn't believe me. You told me I was an idiot. You told me Syracuse is a crap team with that everybody who's ever gone to Syracuse is likes to have sex with their own parents. And that's what you said. Those were your words.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just glad that that's being proven erroneous.
No, we'll see. We'll see. Let's jump down to next week, Dan. I want to start Friday because we got a major matchup on Friday at 10:30. So when a lot of people are heading out to the bars, this is the game to look for. Trojans going to Washington State. USC's favored by 4. I love USC here. Yeah, they struggled against Cal last week. This is a big game for USC. They know they struggled last week and they got to come back. They'll win by a touchdown, if not more.
Give me the
Pirate. I like
what
Washington State's doing.
Give me the Pirate. It's on the Palouse. It's going to be at midnight. It's like Mike Leach is going to have voodoo priests out there. Oh, you know, back in the day, Blackbeard used to hang out with voodoo queens because, you know, those were the fun people to hang out with. I don't know why my Mike Leach sounds like Terry Funk, but that's just how my impressions go.
Your mother's a whore. I can't.
Your mother's a whore. Forever. But Mike Leach is going to do it. The Pirates going to get it done. This is the best Wazoo team.
I think. Yeah,
don't be surprised if they won't win the damn Pac-12. Don't be surprised.
We could see something wild like that, Dan. I think regardless, we're going to have to run into Washington, and Washington's going to beat them. Let's jump to another big game.
I don't know. Wazoo's very good this year. Wazoo's defense has been great. This is the best defense he's had at Washington State.
Dan, they needed some help versus Boise. Let's not forget that game.
Let's look at Boise's run game now. I mean, everybody's shutting.
Let's look at
Boise's
two of your favorite. Boise, yeah, Boise's in trouble right now. Let's jump to two of your boys, Dan. Syracuse travels to the Wolfpack. They travel to NC State. They go into the Wolf's cave.
This is the Dan Bowl
nest. This is the trap game, though. Syracuse catching 13 here. Will the Wolfpack kind of continue their dominance, or? Going to be bad.
Give me the points. I don't know. The history of NC State is after they get a big win, do not expect them to to have back-to-back great performances. I do think they beat Syracuse. You know what? I don't think they cover that.
I think, but you talked about that win and how it was so much different, these NC State wins before, because they dominated, you know, at the line especially. You know what? Fuck Syracuse. NC State wins by 20. How about that for a prediction?
It's gutsy. I think it might be crazy, but it's definitely gutsy.
Let's jump to your CBS afternoon game. Georgia travels to Tennessee. Georgia's favored by 7.5. Does Georgia stumble here? Does Tennessee get another improbable win and somehow Bush Jones?
I think Tennessee wins this.
Stays alive.
I think Tennessee wins this outright, just because that would be the dumbest thing.
That's what I always assume.
Yeah, whatever's going to be.
Anything with the East.
It's the SEC East, so just assume the dumbest thing happens. It's a freshman quarterback going on the road to Rocky Top, you know, and it's not like Georgia has this big talent. I mean, obviously, if they were Alabama, they could just, that wouldn't matter, but I do think it matters for Georgia. I don't see it happening. Give me Tennessee.
Yeah, I like Tennessee here, too, but like I said, I'm ready to see if Kirby Smart's not going to be like Mark Richt. Is he going to not lose these games? This is your first kind of test here for Kirby Smart. I'm interested to see this one. Here's one I'm kind of interested in. Arizona State catching 15 at Stanford. I don't think Stanford's that great this year. I'm not sure they beat a team coming off a big win by 2 touchdowns.
Huh. Well, I mean, look at who Stanford's losses are to. It's two good teams. Like, USC's really good. San Diego State is probably the best team in the group of five. Arizona State stinks. I'm taking Stanford. I'm taking State.
I'm only taking Arizona State here because I do buy into the emotion and the weird kind of factor there with the college kids. Here's another game I'm interested in here, Dan. One second. All right. My boys, Auburn, they host the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Auburn's favored by 9.
Mississippi
State kind of continue their collapse?
I think everybody's kind of overreacting to how badly Mississippi State got beat by Georgia. I don't think Georgia's that much better than Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State came into that game reading too much of their own press clippings. I don't think Auburn's offense can blow out anybody decent. I mean,
no. You know what? I'm going to be a homer here. I'm taking Auburn because, you know what, you get Johnson and Pettaway in that backfield together. They go to what I think Auburn needs to do going forward, and they become more of a power run team that relies on its good defense and that just runs the clock. Yeah, maybe they don't win by 9, but I think Auburn might win. They got to dominate time of possession. It's going to be a little bit less Gus Ball. They're going to win now. It's not a lot of great games this week, Dan. I'm going to go ahead and jump right to our main event. On ESPN, the Clemson Tigers, they travel to Blacksburg. Clemson's favored by 7.5. Give me Clemson here. They're going to win by, 10. Late turnover puts the game away. Tech will be driving. That defense will win the game for Clemson.
What's that line again?
Clemson by 7.5.
Give me the point. Yeah. Exit light, enter night, off to never light. Virginia Tech, I don't think they beat them, but I think this is going to be a game that gets Frank Beamer's dick moving. I think we're looking at like a 10-6 final score. This is just going to be two people standing. It's going to be two drunk mountain people standing in front of each other, hitting each other with glass.
There's going to be a lot of people kind of upset this week, I think, because it's not. I think the kind of the big game this week isn't going to be as fun to watch as people think. For your casual fan, for someone like me, I'm going to love it. It'll be a lot of fun defense, a lot of three and outs, a lot of punts. Who doesn't love punts, Dan?
Beamer ball.
Yes, sir. Anything else you're kind of looking for this week? Like, what do you got your eyes on? What are you peeping? Is there anything you're looking out specifically for in a team? Who needs to prove something to you? Who needs to prove something to Dan Ford this week?
Well, Georgia needs to prove that they can beat two teams that are pretty good back-to-back. Looking pretty closely at Miami-Duke because Miami hasn't, you know, obviously the hurricane caused Miami to sort of miss a game in there. This is Miami's first conference game.
And Miami didn't play, so we didn't talk about it. They didn't play exactly the best last week against very subpar talent.
Yeah, but it's, you know, that is the one caveat to NC State's beatdown on Florida State is that you know, Florida State's whole, like, routine got screwed up by the hurricane, so who knows?
No, and they've, like, had how many of their best players get hurt?
Right.
This was an FSU. This is an FSU team that was wounded, and I think the Wolfpack went for the jugular.
But, you know,
that Seminole had an arrow in his knee. He had an axe in his head, and the Wolfpack went for the jugular and got rid of him.
That's a beat up motherfucker.
Well, Seminoles were tough, Dan. Let's give them credit. They held us off for a little
while. Sure. I'm a big fan of that 90s country song by that guy, Blow Blow Seminole Wind.
Seminole.
Blow, Seminole Wind.
What did Tim McGraw do? I'm like, ricochet.
Half turkey and tuck tall. A baby and Chippewa.
Bullshit. So, yeah, Dan,
I'm interested in Miami. I want to see, because the advanced metrics really love Miami, but it might just be like a lack of sample size. So we'll see, you know, if they're really any good or if it's just, you know, a blip because of the scheduling issues. I'm going to be very interested, perversely. I've got a perverse desire to watch Florida-Vanderbilt, because I think Florida might lose to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt, I'm kind of interested to see how they respond to that, because they got whooped. How are you going to respond? Are you going to just give up? Are you going to kind of ball up like a bitch, or are you going to stand up like a man, to quote the hip-hop men? So I'm interested to see how Vandy kind of responds. Is this the old Vandy, or are we at the new Vandy here? That's going to be interesting to watch.
There's an interesting game for our standpoint, at Memphis versus Georgia State. Who you got? Your beloved Georgia State.
That's not right. Memphis and Georgia State? I thought Memphis is playing UCF.
Oh, it's canceled. My bad.
Yeah, that's the one Georgia State got pissed and made Memphis pay the full amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Memphis, UCF. I think UCF's -3. Give me. I'm kind of wanting to take Memphis there. That's the one I'm not touching.
Oh,
I still know.
That is a story we didn't talk about. We didn't even talk about it. Nebraska firing their athletic director at midweek.
Oh yeah.
Riley looks.
I saw a lot of former players though were like pretty happy. They were not a big fan of that AD.
Yeah.
He's not the most popular guy in the locker room.
They brought him in from Wisconsin. He was an assistant AD for Barry Alvarez over there. He tried to like turn Nebraska into Wisconsin, which, I mean, yeah, Wisconsin became Wisconsin by ripping off Nebraska, but it just never made sense. Didn't work in hiring. He hired a bad head coach, and Mike Riley's going to get fired. And it looks like Nebraska's going to go like all like 90s Nebraska. Like, the big name everybody's talking about for athletic director is going to be former ESPN talking head Trev Alberts, who has been the athletic director of the University of Nebraska, Omaha. And Scott Frost, the reason why I thought of that is Central Florida playing Memphis.
No.
If Central Florida keeps winning and playing well, Scott Frost is going to be the next Nebraska coach. I told you that.
Yeah.
I told everybody that before the season started, but I mean it's all happening.
And what people forget is that division that Nebraska's in the Big Ten is right. Like, you can, if you need to turn a program around, that's probably the best division to be in the Power Five.
Yeah,
that's fair to say, Dan. It's maybe the SECs, but probably there because, like, honestly, you're dealing with schools that aren't going to recruit as well.
I'm
job.
I'm just telling you this right now. All these people who are saying, oh, nobody can ever win at Nebraska. Oh, nobody could ever win at Nebraska. You and I are old enough where we heard all that same shit about Tuscaloosa back before Nick Saban got hired there. Everybody said ever going to go to Tuscaloosa. Oh, the Bears never coming back. Oh, blah, 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 blah.
Well, how about before even Saban got to LSU, you know? That wasn't
really
the top
level
program.
Oh, kids from Louisiana just don't want to stay in state. They want to get the hell out of state. Oh, you'll
or
never.
Or how about this one too, Dan? George Mark Richt can't. Georgia's done. You know, Donnan couldn't do anything. Bam, turned Georgia back into a national powerhouse. So yeah, you get a good coach anywhere, Dan. Guess what? They'll win because they're good.
Yeah,
coaches.
You get a good. Get a good coach at a place that has history and facilities and money. They're gonna win.
Yeah. Dan, I want to talk about one more game. It's not in college. It's not even going to be played in North America. We're heading over to jolly old London again, mate. Because we're going to be watching the New Orleans Saints, yes they is, versus the Miami Dolphins.
I don't know what this, I don't.
Miami, the London game.
I know, your accent was baffling.
That's English accent, mate.
God.
That was shrimp on the bobby, watch the game.
Okay, yeah, I'm excited for the London
at game. At 9 o'clock.
But I'm
at 9 o'clock in the morning. I think it's going to be broadcast on Fox. And I like New Orleans to win there. New Orleans sucks. Miami sucks too, though. So have fun watching that.
In other news, the Australian Grand Finals coming up. I believe it's Saturday.
This the gay marriage vote.
There's a big scandal happening in Australia right now. They're having a referendum on.
Oh, it was with the rug because Macklemore is going to play that song.
The rugby final.
Yeah, and he's going to play the song about gay marriage.
He's
going to
play the No Homo
2012.
Yeah.
So.
But the AFL Grand Final, which is better because Aussie Rules football is better than rugby, is going to be this Saturday. So if you wake up early, like I think at like 9 o'clock or so, you'll be able to see the Grand Final. Because I think it's being played 2:30 local time, which I'm not sure how time zone works, but I think that's like 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Be sure to tune in for the Grand
Final.
They won't have Macklemore,
and I got some...
but one year they had Meatloaf, and he like caused a national scandal because he was so bad at singing that everybody thought that he had like robbed them. Because
some late breaking news here. The Northwestern players plan to enter the field with their arms locked in a show of unity. So they're doing what every high school team has done
for 30 years.
Yeah. Way to continue to be the woke school, Northwestern. Way to also fuck over people trying to form unions at your liberal-ass college. Yeah, real liberal when people try to get paid, though. Then you use Betsy DeVos's rules to help you out there. Fuck you, Northwestern. That's my fuck you of the week. How about that?
I mean, they think they're very woke and very liberal because they're in the same like general area as Chicago University. which is basically like eat shit and die Ayn Rand college. So
they look better. That is true, they do look better by comparison there. And Dan, you know, I got a little new catchphrase here to end the show on. Are you ready for it?
I'm as ready as I'm ever gonna be.
All right, and that's another mystery solved by Dan and Mitch.
that was pretty good. Another
case closed.
I did hear you last week doing my catchphrase. I did play it. But
what's the catchphrase again?
I'm a little out of practice, but I believe it goes a little something like this. Me, 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 me. Play the music, Jason.